Amen. Well, it's good to be with you folks once more. Turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings. I was reading in this book this week, and sort of a phrase that has caught my eye in the past, caught my eye again, and is something that thought might be helpful to sort of take a look at 2 Kings chapter 15. Chapter 15. And we'll look here at verse 32 through 35. 32 through 35. The Bible says, "In the second year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, began Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He did according to all that his father Uzziah had done. Howbeit, the high places were not removed. The people sacrificed and burned incense still in the high places. And he built the higher gate of the house of the Lord." Now, as I was reading that, you might say, what are we going to get from that passage? That's pretty obscure. But I was reading that, and one of the things that stuck out to me was verse 35. My tongue is getting twisted and tied. Verse 35 says, "Howbeit the high places were not removed." And if you study Scripture, if you study the Old Testament, you'll find that oftentimes in the Old Testament, the high places are brought up. And it'll talk about what the kings did with the high places. And you know what? I imagine that probably a lot of people, maybe we just don't really know. Well, what are the high places all about? What's the significance about these high places? What were they? What were they originally for? What did the children of Israel use them for? And not really more importantly, but what can we learn about the high places that will apply to our lives? Because there's some good lessons to learn that I think are very pertinent. And so we're going to learn a bit about the high places tonight. Let's pray and ask God to bless the message. Lord, again, we thank you that your word is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that we may be truly furnished unto all good works. Lord, we pray tonight that you would take even this lesson about the high places and use it to correct us, to reprove us, to help us to walk with you. Lord, would you fill me with your spirit, I pray. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the high places. Now, the high places, they come up much in the Old Testament, and they're repeated. And many times when you read about the high places, you'll read about them in relation to what some of the kings did. And so, and oftentimes it'll be that, you know, such and such a king came to reign, and he reigned for so long, and it'll tell what he did. And most of the time, if he was a good king, it'll say either that he built or that he destroyed high places, or that, you know, maybe he left the high places. Or sometimes it'll tell us what the people did with the high places. Well, what were these high places? Well, the high places were originally the places where idols were worshipped when the Canaanites were in the land. Now, you might remember the story of the Tower of Babel. And, you know, what did they do with the Tower of Babel? They wanted to make a tower so that they wouldn't be dispersed, but they also, it probably was a place of their worship. There is something, for whatever reason, man likes to build towers, and that's where they would worship. And many times throughout, you know, if you actually just do archaeology and you look at different cultures over time, you have this tendency that, for whatever reason, men would worship on the tops of these high places. And it was no different in Canaan at the time, when the Israelites were getting ready to come into the land and to conquer it. And so they would worship the various idols that they worshipped at these places, at these high places. And a lot of times they might be on a particular hill. They started out generally that they would be on a hill or a mountaintop. Later on, we find that they could just be, you know, maybe they were built high places, maybe constructed. And sometimes they would even just be a term used to describe a place where people would worship these different idols. But in the ridge, in the beginning, they were high places, hilltops, mountaintops, where they would go to worship these false idols. And all sorts of wickedness was practiced at these high places. One of the things that the Bible is very discreet when you read it. You know, if you actually think about, you know, Brother Dave mentioned this morning about David and Bathsheba. You know what? You can read that story and know that that there are some very, evil things that took place. But your mind isn't in the gutter when you do it. There's a solemnness about it. There is a seriousness about it. The Bible is discreet in dealing with sin. It's not very, explicit or overt in a way that's problematic. But one of the things with that is that when we read our Bible, sometimes we can not really appreciate just, well, what was going on? It says they worshipped at the high places. What was that all about? It was bad. Can I put it that way? It was wicked. It was immoral. And one of the things you read about later on, it talks about how people would sacrifice their children and so forth. That's the kind of stuff that would happen. All sorts of immorality with priests and priestesses and all these things. The religion of the Canaanites was just an immoral religion. And as a result, these high places, it wasn't just that, they would have some, maybe a little figurine carved out and they'd, offer something. It was places of filth, of ungodliness. And so when Israel came into the land, God tells them in Numbers 33:52, he says, that ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy all their pictures and destroy all their molten images and quite pluck down all their high places. So they were supposed to destroy all the high places. Now, it's interesting. It says that they were to destroy their pictures and their images and pluck down the high places. When I was in one of my history classes in college, my professor, he pointed this out. He said, if you go back and you do archaeology, many of these societies that they will dig up that were buried, they're very advanced societies. Some of them, I think he was mentioning one, there's a group that existed in the Isle of Crete around 1000 BC, so the time of Saul and David and stuff. They had indoor plumbing. They had terraced cities, like with multiple stories and courtyards and, all these beautiful things. But what also, they had pictures, and the pictures were ungodly. They unearthed, when they started to excavate the city of Pompeii that had been covered by the mountains or by the volcano, they started doing this. They had to cover the walls because of the pictures. They were wicked societies. And what's interesting, God wanted all of that wiped out. He didn't want that remembered. Many times, I honestly believe that these societies that just vanished, it's because God did not want us to know what was going on. They were bad places. God judged those places. So they weren't supposed to have the pictures of them. They weren't to have the images. Other places it says, don't inquire, hey, how did these people worship their gods? Why? Because you're going to learn their ways. And he said to destroy the high places. Why? Because God didn't want idolatry to continue on in this land of Israel. The Canaanites had corrupted the land, and God had wiped them out, and he wanted his people to serve him there. And he didn't want all that garbage that had been removed at the cost of war and many lives to come back. So they were to destroy these places. That's what they were originally for. So what did the Israelites do? Now, it seems as though they didn't destroy them. Actually, what they did was they took them over. They took them over. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 9, we read the story. You can turn there if you like. 1 Samuel 9 will be in this section. We will show some different progressions of, well, what happened with these high places. But in 1 Samuel 9, Saul, he is going out to find the donkeys, the asses that they lost. And it's been a few days as he's trying to find them for his father, and he can't find them. And so his servant says, you know what we should do? We should go up to the prophet, to the seer, to Samuel, and find out if he could tell us where these asses are. So they go up, and it says that they're going to meet Samuel, and he's in the high place. Notice in chapter 9, verse 12, they come to the city where Samuel's supposed to be, and he asks, you know, is the seer here? And he says, he is. Behold, he is before you. Make haste now, for he came today to the city. For there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. As soon as ye be come into the city, ye shall straightway find him before he go up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he come, because he doth bless the sacrifice. And afterwards they eat the bidden. Now therefore get you up from about this time, ye shall find him. And they went up into the city, and when they were come into the city, behold, Samuel came out against them for to go up to the high place. So there's supposed to be a sacrifice that Samuel is presiding over. Now, was Samuel an idol worshiper? No. He was one of the first good judges and priests that had been around for a while. He was a servant of the Lord. But he goes to do a sacrifice at the high place. So Samuel, godly man, but he takes over the high place. Obviously, the people had already been sacrificing, probably not to the Lord at these high places. Samuel takes it over, and they start sacrificing there to the Lord. So they took them over, for one, and number two, they worship God at them. They worship God at them. We saw this example, but if you go a couple books forward to 1 Kings, we find another example where there was someone who worshiped God at a high place. In 1 Kings chapter 3, we find Solomon very early on in his reign. He's beginning to sort of establish his reign and to establish his kingdom. And he doesn't know what to do, but he wants to serve the Lord, and he offers a whole bunch of sacrifices to the Lord. And it says in 1 Kings 3, verse 1, and Solomon made affinity, that is, he made a league with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Notice this, only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. Now, who was he sacrificing to? You read on, and he offers all these sacrifices. And this is at Gibeon. He's sacrificing unto the Lord. He's worshiping God at these high places. But we can already tell, God didn't like that. That wasn't where they were supposed to worship. The people, though, had gotten into the habit of sacrificing there. And why? Well, because there wasn't a temple yet built. Now, where were they supposed to worship and to offer sacrifices? In the tabernacle. That was the place that God had appointed to offer his sacrifices. But for whatever reason, probably convenience to a large degree, but they decided, well, we'll just sacrifice to the Lord in these high places. So they started by taking them over, and then they worship God at them. But now let's go a couple chapters later, 1 Kings 12, a couple more chapters. We're just going to keep sort of wandering through the book of 1 Kings a bit here, and 2 Kings. But the next thing that happened at these high places is that they changed the worship of God at them. They changed the worship of God. Look at chapter 12 and verse 28. Chapter 12 and verse 28. And we find this is King Jeroboam. He's taken over the kingdom of Israel, the 10 northern tribes. And he's worried that people, after with all the sacrifices that God had commanded, that they're going to go down to Jerusalem. And when they go to Jerusalem, well, then they're going to remember the old kingdom and David's son that's ruling there. And by worshiping the Lord there, they're going to just get back into that kingdom and he's going to lose his power. So Jeroboam has an idea. It says, whereupon the king, in verse 28, took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made an house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And it goes on to describe what he would do to try to make people to come and worship at his places. But at these high places, this house of high places, that's where he sets up his syncretistic worship. Syncretistic, it's where they tried to blend the worship of God with the worship of the idols. Now, this is important to note. At this point, Jeroboam doesn't say, now, this is the god Baal that you worship. He doesn't say that. He says, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. He was saying, you know, this is Jehovah. This is God. This is who we've been worshiping before. It's the same God that brought us out of Egypt. We're just not worshiping him in Jerusalem. And we have this golden calf. And some people, if they may have remembered some of the law, they would remember there was a time when they built a golden calf and they worshiped God. But that wasn't how God wanted it. God wasn't pleased with that worship. But they thought it was okay. And because of the convenience of it, it's just easier. Let's just worship here. We don't want to go down to Jerusalem. It's a long journey. We'll worship here. And they changed the worship of God at the high places. So then what happened? Well, turn a page or two over to 1 Kings 14:23. 1 Kings 14:23. Next, they built new high places. New high places. Verse 23, it says, for they also built them high places and images and groves under on every high hill and under every green tree. This is during the reign of Rehoboam, one king after Solomon. So already we're seeing they're not only, you know, at Solomon's day, just one generation before, they were worshiping God at the high places. Now they're changing the worship of God at the high places, and now they're building new high places and all sorts of other false places of worship. Then they began to worship false gods by burning their children. Now this goes a bit further into the reign, but in 2 Kings 16, 3 and 4, it says, talking about one of the kings of Israel, or rather one of the kings of Judah, in 2 Kings chapter 16 and verse 3, this is about the wicked king Ahaz. It says, he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his son to pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places, and on the hills, and under every green tree. This was the wicked king Ahaz, perhaps the second most wicked king of Judah at the time. And he had gotten to the point where he was following the very same steps of those Canaanites that God had destroyed and had started to worship the false idols through child sacrifice. Well, it got better for a little bit. Ahaz has a son by the name of Hezekiah, and in chapter 18, verse 4, Hezekiah comes to reign, and it says in verse 3 of chapter 18, he says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places, and brake the images, and cut down the groves, and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made, For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. So here comes King Hezekiah. He sees the problem with these high places. He realizes these should have been destroyed. They've been a problem in our country, and he destroys them. And it makes a big difference in turning the hearts of the people back to the Lord. But unfortunately, what happens next? They built again the high places. In 2 Kings 21, verse 3, it says that they built them again. His son, Hezekiah's son, Manasseh, he builds them again. And eventually, we find, if you study the book of Jeremiah, the children of Israel were destroyed because of the high places. Jeremiah, he's preaching, and God talks about the fact that you've caused your children to pass through the fire, and because you've done this worship at these high places, that he would judge them, that he would bring the sword against them. And so we see this progression, these places that were supposed to be destroyed, and yet they were taken over, and then they worship God at them to start, but slowly they changed the worship of God at them. And then they began to build new high places, and then they began to worship false gods there. For a while, they got rid of some of them, but then they built them again, and it eventually led to their destruction. And all throughout the book of 1 and 2 Kings, Chronicles, you'll read about these high places. And these high places, I think, should be good reminders to us, because we have high places. We have high places. What are our high places? Well, here's a few of the different areas in which, different ideas of where we have high places. First of all, high places, they are areas of your life that just haven't been changed since you trusted Christ. There are those areas where, you know, there used to be false worship of other gods, other things, and they're still there. They should have been destroyed a long time ago, but they're still in your life. They are things that you think that you can handle. Now, one of the things that's interesting, when you read about these high places, many times it'll say the phrase like this: only the people sacrificed in the high places. In the sense that it'll say, like, well, this king did great things. He worshiped the Lord. He had a good heart towards the Lord. Only the people sacrificed in high places. And when you read it, it almost is like, well, it doesn't seem like it's a big deal. It seems like they could handle it, but they couldn't. It was a problem. And the truth is there are things in our lives that many times we look at and we say, yeah, I know I probably shouldn't do that, but I can handle it. It's not a big deal. And those things can be so dangerous. Here's an interesting one. They are things that are worldly, but are used to worship God. You know what? This, unfortunately, in much of Christianity, there are things that are worldly, but people think, well, maybe we can use that to draw people into church and things like that. But God doesn't want us to use the world's methods to reach the world. God wants us to use the love of Christ to reach the world. And so many times, you know, people will try to, there'll be something in their past that they know, I shouldn't let that continue. But they think, well, maybe I can just somehow sanctify it a little bit. I can spiritualize it and it'll be okay. I'll worship God with this. When God says, no, I just want you to get rid of it. Destroy it. That's a high place. They are the areas where corruption begins to creep in. The little areas that you just slowly, they're those areas of your life where you can look and say, you know what, that problem's gaining ground. It used to be a small thing, but now it's slowly building in my life. You know, one of the worst ones for that is bitterness. Something bothers us, somebody hurts us, and maybe they were wrong in what they did, but we allow it to get to us. And at first it's just a small thing, but then over time it just keeps bothering us more and more, and all of a sudden we find that it grows. That's a high place. It's something that continues to get worse. Not only that, high places, they're things that you get rid of, but go back to. This is a hard one. This is a hard one for me. Because there's a lot of things that I know that are, that's like, oh, I got to deal with that. I got to get rid of that in my life. That's bad. And I get rid of it for a while. Oh, I change for a little bit. But sooner or later, maybe it's just time, maybe there's some other, and I'll be, oh, it's not a big deal. I go back to it. Friends, there's a lot of times where there are things that we, God convicts us about and we deal with it, but then we go back. They're high places. They're things that we destroyed, but we build again. They're the things, the high places are those things that can destroy your life. You know, many times those areas in our life that, you know, what we might think would be the thing that would just tear us away from God and ruin us, a lot of times it's not that. A lot of times it's little things. A lot of times it's those subtle areas where God prompts us and says, you know, shouldn't you deal with that? And we say, ah, it's not a big deal. But then we let them go, and after a while they start to affect us. Our relationship with God is hurt. And before long, they can destroy us. And so they are the things that we just need to get rid of, to destroy ourselves. I didn't, you know, you'll notice I didn't give exactly too many examples of what those things are. But I think a lot of us can look at our life and actually can think about, as the Holy Spirit convicts us of, yeah, I think there's a few of those in my life. There's some high places. And the key is that we have to deal with them. We have to get rid of them. We have to get rid of the bitterness. We have to get rid of the worldliness. We can't kid ourselves in thinking that we can handle some things that God says you can't handle. And when we read about these high places, we ought to take them as a warning. Yeah, you know what? My heart might be right with God in that I want to love him and I want to serve him. But if God's convicting my heart about an area and I'm not willing to deal with it because I don't think it's a big deal, I ought to take that as a warning. I ought to remember the lesson of the high places and learn, I don't know where this could end. I don't know what this could really, what the consequence could be of this. I need to deal with them. And so I don't know maybe what the high places are in your life, but I would encourage you, if there's a high place, if one of these areas, as we talked about it, you'd say, you know what, that's the high place for me, then I would encourage you to deal with that area, to confess that, Lord, this area, I've been letting it in my life. I know that I shouldn't have it. But God, forgive me about this and help me to tear that high place down and not to let it get built up again. That's what the high places were all about. And you know what? God often, though it didn't always seem like it was such a big issue, you know, Solomon, he worshiped at the high place and God still blessed him. It was something that was always important to God. Little things might not seem like they're that important to us, but little things do matter to God. So that's a lesson about the high places, the places that should be destroyed. But we often let them stand in our life, and we need to destroy them before they destroy us. Let's pray. Lord, I do just pray that you just take this simple lesson about the high places and, Lord, apply it to our lives, Lord, in each person's heart. Lord, it's so easy for us to deceive ourselves or to go back into sin. Lord, we just want to be clean. We want to be holy. Lord, help us to deal with areas where we're needing to grow. And Lord, I just thank you for this time now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.